This episode of Road Dirt is brought to you by Mimi and Moto, children's motorcycling books. The holidays and Christmas are fast approaching, and it's time to start thinking about presents for the kids in your life. Our friends Nancy and Mark, creators of the Mimi and Moto book series, would like you to join their mission to get more children excited about motorcycle riding. You can visit them at mimiandmoto.com. That's MIMIAND MOTO.com, mimiandmoto.com. They've already got a couple of great books out that have been really good sellers for them in recent years. The Adventures of Mimi and Moto, and Mimi and Moto Ride the Alphabet, along with t-shirts, onesies, ornaments, plushes, and things like that. They've got another one coming out, looks like in the coming year. It's going to be called Mimi and Moto's Magic Meteors, First Gear. Mimi and Moto are a pair of motorcycle riding monkeys in their book series, and they're really entertaining. So little kids are definitely enjoying these, and I think whole families will enjoy them as well. Let's pass on the love for motorcycling to the next generation, and what better way to do it than with children's books that the kids will enjoy. MimiandMoto.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand, covering what we like to call ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And on this episode of the podcast, we interview my friend Brian Stokes. Brian is a true motorcycle life, and I wanted to highlight that. He has been a motocross racer in his younger years, supercross racer, switched over to road bikes, AMA road racer for a number of years. He's been a crew chief with race teams. He's been a team principal. And he also has built and maintained motorcycles for various movies and television shows. And he also currently supports Triumph North America by managing and working with the press fleet, preparing the press fleet and the marketing fleet of Triumph over here in North America. So we sat down for a conversation and found out some interesting things about Brian's life that I didn't know, and I've known him for three years now, and I thought I'd share this interesting conversation with all of you. So let's just jump right in. Hey, this is Rob with Road Dirt, and we are with my friend Brian Stokes, and up here in above Cartersville, Georgia. Good to see you today, man.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah, appreciate you having me up. The reason I wanted to talk with Brian is because Brian has one of what we call a unique ride life story. I mean, you talk about a story of a guy that has made a passion, a profession, you know, in the world of motorcycling. That has been Brian, and I've gotten to know Brian because Brian preps a lot of the press fleet and the marketing fleet, media fleet for Triumph Motorcycles, and over the last, I guess, 2 or 3 years that we've gotten bikes from Triumph to evaluate and ride and test and write about and do videos on, I've gotten acquainted with you and kind of struck up a friendship. We've got some commonalities, you know, in ways with you know, health things as we get older and stuff like that. So we found some commonalities and struck up a professional acquaintance has become a friendship. So I thought, man, I would love just to come up and just chat with you about your life and riding. What is it? I've kind of a little bit hit on what you do with Triumph. You're not really employed by them, but you're like contracted with them for, what do you do with them?
I've been with Triumph, contracted about 10 years now, and started out a few bikes, marketing press fleet, and it turned into a 6,000 square foot shop, and I do anything from damage in transits, customer service returns. We did the train before COVID, we did training here for the techs.
Okay, yeah.
I've built movie bikes. Ride with Norman Reedus, do the bikes for that show. And
Cool.
And, you know, every day is a new day. So it's a good thing. It's never boring around here.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. You told me once before that you've actually done some work with you know, movie sets and things like that with their motorcycles. That's pretty cool that you've gotten into that and been able to do that. So you do actually all the bikes for Norman Reedus Rides. Is that what the show is called? Norman Reedus?
Ride with Norman Reedus.
Yeah. That's right. That's what it's called.
And he's a great guy. I've got to know Norman over the past 5 years. And, you know, first time I met him, I showed up at his house to do a service on one of his bikes. And he's like, hey, you want breakfast? You know, you want some coffee? You know, I mean, he's just a down-to-earth guy. And we sat around and talked for about an hour, just, you know, just a cool guy.
Yeah, so that's cool. You get to a wide variety of experiences. You know, when you come here, you know, up to your shop and all, it's not just about Triumphs that you're working on or movie set bikes. You know, it's a true, you know, what we at Road Dirt call a ride life, you know, a motorcycle life. At what age were you first got into motorcycles? How early were you exposed to bikes?
1979. I was born in 74. So, oh, yeah. You know, at 79, my dad got me a Yamaha 50. And had a clutch on it and everything. And I've still got that bike. It still runs.
That's cool, man. So, you still got your first bike.
I got that, started riding, flipped it over the very first time I got on it. You know, just dumped the clutch on it. After that, I decided I wanted to try a little motocross racing. Got a YZ60. Mm-hmm. And from there, I raced from 80. I went from 84 to 94 motocross. And did some AMA Supercross stuff. Went pro in that.
Wow!
I didn't have quite the success that, you know, some of my friends, good friends with Ezra Lusk, and he had a great career at it. And a lot of people around in Georgia, you know, were pro motocross racers, mm-hmm. Shea Bentley and things like that. But anyway, that was my motocross career. And then...
So you 10 years in motocross. That's cool.
Yeah. So
how'd you make the transition to street bikes, to road racing?
Well, I went to radiology school. Mm-hmm. I started to, you know, get out of the motorcycle stuff and did that for a couple of years. And then my dad, I was kind of down in the dumps a little bit. My dad bought... it's a Honda CBR 600 F3, and I was riding on the street one day and came around a corner, and I was like getting my knee close to the ground. I'd never been on, you know, road racing stuff, hadn't been around it, and almost ran off the road and hit a telephone pole. And
almost is the operative word.
Almost. Yeah. I was sliding front and rear, and didn't know what I was doing, had no clue, and just going really fast on the street. I went back and told my dad, I said, I need to think about going to the track, or I'm going to end up in a casket. You know, something's bad. I'm going to get hurt really bad. So I bought an F2 from Keith Hoogstad, and the rest is history. I had 15 years of road racing, and it was.
Now you worked your way up through. Did you have to get your AMA license for road racing, right?
I did. I started off WIRA.
Okay.
End of 96, I started WIRA and raced a full season in 97 as a novice, and then went expert. I rode for Arclight Suzuki team in WIRA. After that, I just started working my way up, got my AMA pro license, and back in the day, AMA was just so expensive to run. I didn't have quite the sponsorship that I really needed to go do it. Back in 05, there's a guy named Rocky Stargell that had Stargell Racing. Mm-hmm. He won an AMA 250 championship with Chuck Sorensen, and he had R1 and R6, and he's like, hey, we're looking for a new rider. You know, I want to see. We'll test you out. So, evidently, I impressed them. I did a complete season with them, and I did a complete season with them. But actually, to back up, let me back up to 03, because Mike Embry, Mike Embry from you know, the Gainesville area, also he gave me a shot. Me and Jeff May were teammates.
Oh, cool!
So I did a full AMA season. We were teammates for a year, and then jumped forward back to Rocky. I did two full seasons AMA with him, and that really successful. And you know, just tried.
He's a popular guy.
Yeah, let me mute that real quick.
That's all right. Yeah.
Anyway, so That went really well. Qualified as high as sixth in Formula Extreme. Back then it was 600.
Formula Extreme was 600
class. Yeah, run what you brung pretty much. They had a few, a few limits for what you could do to the motors and everything, but had some top 10 finishes in Formula Extreme. I was always on that bubble of there was only so many rides out there. I had a ride, but I didn't have that full factory ride.
Right.
So I did something. I went out on a limb and I went racing full-time contingency. Mm-hmm. I was racing Yamahas and Kawasaki's and Hondas and whatever paid. There was one championship that Honda paid $35,000 for a championship bonus. And I ended up winning that. So,
yeah. What year was that?
That was 2010.
2010.
Yeah.
Man.
And then Aprilia offered a 10 grand bonus for a championship 2 years in a row, and I won that. I mean,
2 years in a row, you took it for them for
two years in a row, and then everybody
quit. Is that Formula Extreme still?
No, that was Wira. Like,
that was back in Wira
heavyweight superbike class.
And okay,
so it's kind of, you know, these people offer, the companies offered all these big, you know, championship bonuses, and they did it for 1 or 2 years, and somebody won it, and they quit. I don't know why, but back in the day, Kawasaki, you could win $8,000 a weekend, and I had some I had some really good sponsors that bought bikes for me, and I had, you know, my gas paid for, pretty much everything paid for, Michelin tires they gave me, some good support. I tire tested for them, and it was a really good career. And then I started to make my transition into, the money, the whole dynamic of road racing changed. I mean, the factories pulled out of AMA, and everything started to, money started to dry up, and contingency, you just couldn't make, a good living at it.
I was like, from about, they started really struggling about 2010 to about 2013, mm-hmm. 2014, right?
Yeah, that
the
was
bottom
it.
Seems like the last season of AMA Superbike was like five race rounds that year.
Yeah, it wasn't very, I think Daytona Motorsports Group came in and things didn't go as they thought they would.
Right.
But, basically after that, I was like, well, I may try to get into coaching a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I started with Garrett Gerloff. I was his coach for a couple of years. And
there he is right there. Got him between us right there.
I started off with Garrett before he got on 600s. And then mm-hmm. he went on to the Graves Yamaha team.
Yeah.
And I was crew chief for him for actually it was going to be 2 years, but he got hurt. So I ended up being Tommy Hayden's crew chief for a year. And then and Garrett's crew chief for the next year. So 4 years with Garrett, and then Elena Myers came along with the Triumph program.
Yeah.
I was Elena's crew chief for a year, and then finished out with Corey Alexander on 600. In between all that, Jason DeSalvo and I started a school that lasted 3 years, DeSalvo Speed Academy. So I was doing...
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, so we were doing a full-time school,
yeah.
Full-time crew chief, and with Triumph. They had three different jobs at one time, and it, man...
Three hats, man.
Yeah, so that's where all my gray hair came from, I guess. But yeah, it was a great experience, and I was tired of traveling. I mean, 30 plus years on the road with motocross road race and this, that, and the other. I just, wanted to be home. And I've had some opportunity to go back and crew chief again for some teams in AMA. And I'm just not ready to, I don't want to go back in that ring again right now. It's it makes me feel good. I'm still wanted in the paddock and everything. My brother works for Olin Suspension.
Yeah.
He was the race team manager, and when Tony Elias won the championship, Superbike, he was his suspension guy. And so he's been with Olin's, I think, 17 years. So it's in our blood, we've been at the track in different, forms, but it's been a good run. Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with Triumph how did you guys connect and you start working with them?
Basically,
AMA was winding down and becoming Moto America, you wanted to be more of a homebody, kind of come off the road, right?
I did. Actually, I got a phone call from a guy one day, and his name's Paul Runyon, and Paul was like, hey, he worked for Triton. He's like, hey, do you know any warehouse spaces? Do you know any dealerships that we might could lean on to do a few things? I'm like, not really. fast forward, you know, 3-4 months down the road, and Jason and I were doing the schools, and it was with Triumph Motorcycles. You know, he was sponsored by Triumph and running for their team, and we needed to borrow a bike from him. So we borrowed a Speed Triple, actually, and I brought it back really clean, and I said, who's taking care of all your bikes and this and that and the other? And I was kind of looking for something, you know, to kind of shift into a little bit. And they said, that's why we were calling you, because they were in a huge warehouse. They had all their parts and training and everything. They were moving into office space. Mm. So they needed a warehouse. Well, yeah. At the time, I didn't have a warehouse. I had a two-car garage. And after they said, oh, we'll have you about 5 or 6 bikes maybe, you know, not much for the marketing press fleet. Mm. Okay. 2 months later, I had 30 bikes at my place. And I was like running out. I was like, wow. I rented I think it was a 3,000 square foot shop, rented that. And then everything just snowballed. I mean, they were like, can you do motor work? Can you do this? And I had a Tracy Polson, one of my best friends that got me into road racing. He was, you know, he wanted a little side job, and he knew how to build motors and this and the other. Because, I mean, all these years of racing, I had somebody build my motors. I had, you know, my brother and people do suspension and this, that, and the other. So my learning curve went straight up. Tracy taught me how to do motors and, you know, just started to learn a lot about the internals of anything and everything with Triumph Motorcycles. And Tracy worked with me for a while, and then he ended up going to corporate. So I'm kind of a one-man show. You know, I have my old crew chief comes and works with me some.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm on 5 acres here, so it's my shop's on 5 acres. And
beautiful piece of property up here in the North Georgia foothills, man.
It's kind of double-edged. Well, I appreciate it. It's a double-edged sword, though, because, you know, my house is on the property, too, so I can come out at 10, 11 o'clock at night and work, and it's just like, you know, and I do that.
It's hard to put it down sometimes,
isn't it?
It's hard to
put it down. It absolutely is, but I wouldn't take anything for it.
Yeah, it's good to be home. I know you get to see your wife during the day, and you get to, you know, see your kids. You have one or two?
I have two.
You have two?
Yeah.
You have a son and a daughter, right?
Yeah,
And you're a granddad now.
Yeah, almost 3 times over.
Really? Okay, all right.
I'm getting really old. But, my son, he's moved out, married, and, you know, having kids. And my daughter's a senior in high school.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been you know, my son race. He did some racing in motocross, but he never really. One fun fact is he did the 250D class, which is, you know, he was just having fun. But he won the last ever race and the last gate drop at the Georgia Dome. They had an amateur day after the Supercross. They did amateur day, and then they tore it down after that. So he's the last one to ever win a race in that.
Probably facility. A lot of folks don't even remember the gigantic, you know, Georgia Dome that is no more.
Right.
It's gone now. Been replaced by Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He won the last race in there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When you think back over your career, I'm looking around your man cave here. It's literally what it's called. I mean, it's got a sign out the front, you know, Brian's Man Cave.
Yeah.
And still plays with motorcycles. I can see that sign over there. That is definitely you, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of your race helmets. You got trophies. You got others in other places. What were some of your most memorable race, one or two of your most memorable races when you road raced?
Suzuki Cup races. I had some good battles with Mike Smith and Robert Jensen and Trey Beatty and all, you know, I had that. I won the Horizon Award, the AMA Horizon Award.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I had a really good career between WERA and CCS. And
then 10 years of motocross before that, man.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
I was a member of the Suzuki World Cup team. They did that for a couple of years. And I mean, I guess
it's hard to probably pinpoint.
It's hard to pinpoint, right? But you know, there was a race at Barber where there were 10 guys that could win the race as a WERA race. And like I said, we had John Jacoby and Trey Beatty and Jensen and Lee Akery and all these guys that had finished top 10, top 5 AMA. And last lap, I pulled it out and won the race. And that's a memorable one.
Yeah.
I was a good rain rider. I liked the rain. So that's at the GNF one year, I jump the start, they said. Then they pulled me in for a stop and go in an 8-lap race, and it was three waves of riders, and I came in and still won the race in the rain.
Gosh.
So I like the rain.
Good in the rain, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if that's, you know, as far as memorable races, and then when I won the Honda Championship for that $35,000, that was a...
That's a big deal.
That was a pretty, you know, special deal. And then a year after that, I retired, and that was...
Retired on top, man.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Get out while I could.
Do you love? What is it? I know you love working with Triumph, and you love doing what? What movies have you actually done bikes for?
They did Rampage, and we, like I said, we've done Ride with Norman Reedus.
Yep.
They've had. And I didn't do the bikes for this, but you know, like the Mission Impossible movies, and. There's just been a couple. There's a lot of, I want to say, movie stars. Mike Wolff, they give him some bikes to ride for American Pickers. Dave Chappelle, you know, just there's been several. The coolest thing I got to do, Triumph actually got me to do, was go to NOLA down in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to work with Ryan Reynolds for a whole day.
Just, oh, cool.
Just me and him on the track, yeah. And I have never been, I want to say, I met Michael Jordan, I've met, you know, all kinds of people, and I've never just shut up, like, just, I was just, like, stopped in my tracks when he walked up to me and was going to shake my hand, and I was just kind of starstruck a little bit, but then when he started talking, I'm like, oh, dude, you're just a normal guy, okay, because I didn't know how to take him, but
right.
We did a short little, we did all-day riding, just me and him on the track. He'd never been on the track, but he had ridden before, and, I've still got the video, and we do an interview afterwards, and he's just like you see him on the movies, he's just a nice dude.
Yeah.
But you never know when there's some people out there that think they're better than you, and they put their pants on just like I do.
Yes, they do.
Might have a lot more money than I do. But,
a lot more money in those pant pockets, but
exactly.
That's for sure. But it's cool to get to have some of those people that you've gotten to meet over the years, too.
And I actually did a movie. I was actually in a movie. It's going to come out probably, hopefully, spring, summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And Triumph had a couple of bikes in it. But I actually got me and Opie and Michael Barnes and Jason Farrell and Brandon Posh, he won the 200.
Yeah, twice.
So, yeah, me and Brandon got to go out and spend some good fast laps at Road Atlanta. We did like 6 days of filming out there. So it's called One Fast Move.
One Fast Move coming out this next year, 2023. Yeah.
So me and Opie were on the front row of the grid of the, you know, we had a helicopter flying around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I said, I've been very blessed over the years. I mean, I've got for Kawasaki, when I was riding Kawasaki, they did some commercial stuff, and I got to go, you know, go through the, I think it's Talladega National Forest with a helicopter over me shooting stuff. And, you know, I mean, it just the opportunities I've had presented to me, it's absolutely just a joy to do. You know, I just have fun and look back and go, man, that was pretty cool.
Pretty cool life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool life. When you're, I know your kids are, one of them's grown and gone. The other ones will be soon. What do you want them to, what do you want them years from now? What do you want them to remember about, or have caught from your life, have learned from you?
You know, I just hope they show a good work ethic and, just a desire. I mean, like when I first started out racing full time, I was training. Or right before I went racing full-time, I was training, working full-time job, you know, doing this, that, and the other. So I had a lot and married. So, you know, my work ethic had to really change. You know, I had to be focused on, you know, work and life and this, that, and the other. So I hope they, you know, and they're not lazy. So hopefully they've learned that, from, you know, not to be lazy and just go out and work for what you want. I know that cliche, they say, you know, put your mind to it, you can do anything and everything, which you can, you know, some people, I'm not going to be an NBA player or, a football player or anything, but I'm saying if they want to do something, try it and go after it. And my son, he's got a business started where he, you know, he was going to be a welder and then he ended up he's an arborist. And does, cutting trees, and then he's got a landscaping business now. So, He still works with me in the wintertime when there's nothing going on. So
yeah, yeah.
My daughter, she's still undecided. She just started working at a veterinarian.
Oh, wow.
Animal hospital.
She might just fall in love with that, yeah.
She has, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. She worked at Starbucks, and then she quit, and I was, like, bummed out because I love Starbucks. And,
yeah.
Love my coffee.
That's
and
sure.
But, no, she's trying to find her way. She's got, good support from me and her mom, and if she goes to college, she goes to college. If she doesn't, she...
That's not the only path to success anymore.
It's
that's
not.
For sure.
I went to college for, 4 years and ended up not doing what I went to college for.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I hope they just grow up and, they find good people to marry, and which my son married a good one. And I've got grandkids. And the good thing about grandkids is I can give them back at the end of the day.
You can hand them back at the end of the day. That's right, man.
Anyway.
So, well, man, I just always enjoy coming up and hanging out with Brian and seeing what he's got in the shop, what they're working on for Triumph or for movies or his other gigs, and getting a tour of his place here and hear a little bit of his story, your story about racing and you really are a true you have lived and continue to live a ride, what we call a hashtag ride life, that's for sure. So. Enjoyed it. Thanks for your time, man.
Yeah,
appreciate you having me up. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah.
This is Rob and Brian with Road Dirt. Ride life. We want to thank MimiandMoto.com for their sponsorship of this episode of Road Dirt, the podcast. You can find out more about their children's motorcycling books at MimiandMoto.com.